And all right, Father, we just thank you again for this wonderful opportunity to get together and talk about you, Lord. Talk about the things in our life about you, Lord. Father, I just ask for your anointing for everyone here tonight. Let your glory fall, Lord. Let your glory fall. And Lord, let it be a night of remembering, a night that we all know that you're with us and you're leading us and you're guiding us. That it's also a night of worship and praise to you, Lord, because everything that we talk about is you. We praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in the bride, getting everybody ready, getting rid of all of these little hindrances. And Lord, we're looking for a great and wonderful time shortly with your bride, with your wonderful bride. And Father, we just thank you that you're showing us these little things in our lives that have held us back, and we're repenting of them and getting rid of them, these idols in our life, these little things that have tripped us up occasionally all through our walk. Lord, I thank you for showing us those things and allowing us the overcoming faith to get rid of them, Lord, and I praise you for that in the name of Jesus. It's like we got the word last night, Lord, to come closer to you, to draw closer to you, to draw nigh unto you, Father, in these days ahead. Do it now, you said, to get closer to you, Father, because we're going to need that closeness. We're going to need to be able to hear that still small voice that shows us what you want us to do, what you want us to do over here, where you want us to go, all of those words that you give us, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for each and every one of us, Lord, because I know that you're going to be a time when the thing will be shut and the bride will be cleansed of all unrighteousness one way or the other. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you've shown us the way. You've shown us the little things that have hindered us and kept the blessings from us. And Father, I praise you that everybody's going to just get on the road, Lord, myself included. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for all that you're going to do this evening with everybody here. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against any kind of tormenting spirits that might try to interrupt this fellowship tonight in Jesus' name and bind you up and cast you out of here. I'll bind up any kind of witchcraft and cast it out. Any kind of curses spoken against us, I'll send them right back where they came from. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you that tonight's going to be a great time and nobody's going to get kicked off and everybody's going to have an awesome time with you, Lord, and be led by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Amen. I don't have a clue what that was Greg put up there, but anyway. Boom tuba, whatever it is.
Kathleen does.
All right.
He's a good guy. Right. How are you?
Okay, let's see. Anybody got a prayer request? And then Ronnie in. Go ahead, Denny.
Okay, can't get the arrow in the right spot. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we have two. One is for our grandson, Jonah, who is 7. And just, he's, you know, he's, how would you describe this thing? He had hydrocephalus when he was born. Anyway, it's affected him. He's been like behind a year and a half or 2 years behind normal growth development anyway. But he's been having a struggle lately of going to the bathroom in his pants, you know. And he's really embarrassed. And we talked to him today. We call him, and his mom, Victory, that's our daughter Victory, said he was in bed all day. He had messed his pants. And he didn't want to get out of bed. And he was just really embarrassed and, ashamed of it all. But we did pray for him. But we just want to do some more prayer for him. He was having a little pain in his legs. I didn't, when we were hanging up, we're not quite sure what that was yet. So, Father, we lift up Jonah right now in the name of Jesus. We combine our faith, and we just believe you're going to touch his system, Father, and to make him be normal, Father, and touch his spirit and his soul, Father. He does, he asks his mom to pray when he has troubles, and which is good. He seems to have a leaning toward the knowing you, Lord, and he does pray, and I really believe he has faith in you, so we thank you for that, God. But just touch him and heal him, heal his the shame and all this just stuff. Just let it just go away from him, Lord, and just bless him, Lord. Bless little Jonah. We just thank you, Father. We praise you. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Can I pray for him?
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. Lord, we lift up Jonah to you. You gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. This is an enemy to him and to his parents. In the name of Jesus right now, I command his body to line up with the word of God.
Yes.
I command every cell in his body to be healed in the name of Jesus.
Thank you,
Father. I command every organ in his body to be healed in the name of Jesus. And I command complete healing from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet in the mighty name of Jesus. I command any rejection off of him right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I command any condemnation off of him right now in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
And Father, we thank you that Jonah is healed, delivered, and set free from this moment on.
Yes.
And I praise you for it, Father, and I glorify you, and I thank you for it, Father, that Jonah, little 7-year-old Jonah, is not behind. He's ahead. He is the head and not the tail, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord, that this will happen no more.
Matter of fact,
he's going to excel at everything that he does. We declare and decree it in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And not only that, Lord, I ask and I pray, Father, that you put a love of you inside his heart right now.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. A deep.
Thank you, Father.
Insatiable love for you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Do this, Lord. I thank you for little Jonah.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. I believe it's done.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
It is done.
Thank you.
It is done.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
And we have another prayer request. Our son, Judah, and his wife, Annette, they live out in Colorado between the mountains, like in between, and they made a campground. It's called a GLAMP, G-L-A-M-P, GLAMP ground, like a glamorous campground. And the tents that they set up are put on a deck, like, I want to say roughly like 14 by 20-ish or something like that. And they put a tent on it, and they have a real fancy furniture in there and a wood burning stove. And some of them have bathrooms in them. Anyway, I think there's 30. I think they got 30 up. There's room for more, but they got 30 up. This is their first season, and they did really well. They've been sold out almost every weekend. They're doing very well at it, but really taxing for them. But anyway, he called me today and said, Dad, you won't believe what's going to happen. There's a snowstorm coming, unexpected Colorado snowstorm. It's supposed to be 50-mile-an-hour winds, 3 to 8 inches of snow, and it's heading right at us, you know. So we told them, pray, you take authority. You pray, you take authority. So we pray with them, but we want to join. I want to have Michael pray. I mean, God moves in Michael's prayer just to command that snowstorm to go around them. So
amen. Yeah, we did that one more than once. We've done that many times.
Thank you, Father.
Okay. What's your son's name?
Judah.
Judah. Okay. Lord, we lift up Judah, Lord, and we lift up our faith with Judah. And his commanding of that storm, we put our faith with his, and we do. We command that storm to spit and go around him. No winds, no snow. And Father, we thank you that it's going to be an awesome testimony to Judah.
Thank you,
Father. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that we're going to be looking for that good testimony.
Thank you.
And he's going to wonder what happened. That big, great big storm just split and went around us and then closed in around behind us and just left us free of all of that stuff. Father, and I thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. He'll be telling that all over that countryside over there.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, all those people who is going to set up in motels are going to say, let us out of here. We're back in our tents.
They had to send people in this. They rented some hotel rooms because of the 50 mile an hour wind. Tent, it's like a garage tent. You know, they're pretty good size. And
I mean, just tell them it'll be fine. It's gonna be good. It'll be good. That's what happened to us. We had people that they were forecasting 12 to 15 inches of snow here. They did all around us, in front of us, sides of us, and behind us. But we just had a dusting, just a very slight dusting at that. And man, we was rejoicing. Next time a snowstorm came up, the kids started calling us real early and told us to quit praying. They wanted to see the snow. So we passed the plate. You know how that works. No, we did. I'm just kidding. Okay, who's next? Yeah, Claire.
I have a prayer request for a, she's a lady who lives here, a worldly lady, and she homeschools, and she's got children who are quite ill or injured, or I don't know what the word would be, but they struggle. And I've been not walking with her, but we've been friendly since she started homeschooling 2 years ago. And she's been asking, and she even bought some of my Christian curriculum off of me. And I said to her, look, it's Christian. You must know that. And she's like, oh, I don't have a problem with that. And we didn't hang out, but we've spent time together. And then she said to me, she's been praying to a God since she was 14. Every night she prays, and she doesn't know if he hears her. And I said, and then I had a chance to confess and share the gospel with her, and I did. And then she kind of went away for about 4 months. This was in the beginning of COVID. And then yesterday she texted me and she said to me, the pennies dropped. She said, well, I could read you the text. She said, it was the weirdest thing out of nowhere. Like, I haven't spoken to her for ages. She said, I read this. This is something she saw on social media. She said, the Bible calls all people to repent, mean turn away from your sin. The LGBTQIA folks need to look closely at what the Bible says to see if that is acceptable to God who created the heavens and the earth. God accepts all people, not as they are, rather as a changed and renewed soul. So I said to her, she said, this has made a clear impact on me. So I said, okay, how did that make an impact? And she said, I've really struggled with what to repent means, and I've always been acutely aware of a feeling of learning lessons when I've been challenged, but I've struggled to see the gain beyond my own emotional feelings. I've always had this question of why. It just hit me so hard that I felt completely absolute, a total aha moment. So I didn't really understand any of this, but I just kind of loved her. I sent a nice reply and I said to her, well, what do you feel you need to do next? And she said, I've really sat and reflected on it and let it sink in, and I need to speed up my Bible studies. So she actually reads the Bible every day. I bought her a Bible last year and she's been reading it every day. And she said, but every time I have one of these moments of understanding, I feel like I need to start again. and take in better meanings of the words. So I said to her, okay, so what do you feel you need to do next? Like I asked again, and she said, I really need your assistance. So I said, well, come on over.
Like, of course.
Like, just come anytime. Like, my house is open to you. You come. Jesus in me will help you. Like, that's all it is. And then I also, like, you know, without looking like one of those dogs that won't let go on something, because I know that in my old self, I was quite forceful. So I tried to just sort of, I said, look, no pressure whenever you want to come, but come, kind of thing. And she said, you're such a great friend. My husband isn't with me on this yet. Do you see how she's already talking in faith?
Yeah.
But he's trying to support me as best he can. I appreciate your offer so much, but I really feel like I want to finish the Bible before I sit down and talk through it. Is that silly? So I said to her, no, it's understandable, but gosh, like, most Christians never read the Bible. I said, and, you know, and there be the problem. I said, so just know that it's not a requirement to finish it before you make a commitment or want to know more. I said to her, there's people in Africa who are illiterate and they get called by the Holy Spirit and they get the revelation of Jesus Christ without even having to read the Bible. So you must know that it's okay. And she said, okay, I'm coming next Tuesday. So now it's a full week for me to wait and pray. And that's wonderful because the Holy Spirit can work in me. But I also would like to pray for her to have just supernatural protection over her this week and to soften her husband's heart. And because she's going to be going into the city. Hobart is a really occultic city. Her in-laws stay there and they're going to go visit them. And they're all raging atheists. And I just would like to pray for supernatural protection over her. And I want to give her Sovereign God to read while she's down there. But I don't know if that's maybe, like, this is a woman who's never entered a church. So I don't know if that's the best thing. So just for discernment and wisdom for me, and also for her to be protected so that when she does come on Tuesday, you know, she actually does come, that the, you know, the arrows don't keep her away.
You want to pray, or you want us to pray?
I'll pray if you could agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father, for showing us how good and mighty you are. Thank you for walking with Kate, Lord. Thank you for hearing her prayer. And I've struggled with that, but I know she has some amount of faith, Lord, and she's more diligent than the other Christians that I know that live here. She reads your word every day. She's trying to understand it. So, Father, I know that even though deliverance is the children's bread, the dogs eat from the crumbs, and I pray supernatural protection over her and her family as they travel to Hobart this weekend. Father, I pray that you would put a yearning in her heart, not only to read the word, but to repent, to turn from the evil life of sin and to become new in Christ, and let the sperma, the word, your word, Lord, grow a seed of Jesus in her. And let that be followed up quickly with a baptism, not only a baptism in Jesus, but also of the Holy Spirit, so that she may have that double portion that we so desperately seek, Lord, so that she can have a new life in you and she can have eternal life in your Son. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for your grace. Please continue to use me as a vessel in any way. Please give me more understanding and more knowledge and more patience. And let Jesus really shine through me, Lord. Do what you need to do in the next 6 days to get this flesh well and truly dead, deader than what it is. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this new creature. I remember the story. Y'all remember David's testimony? That's how he got saved, reading the Bible. There wasn't anybody come up to him. He just read the Bible and things started falling off of him. Lord, we just ask that you give this lady wonderful revelations in your word, Lord, to what she needs to do. And she just needs to have faith, Lord. And I'm asking you for a lot of that faith for her in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for the wisdom you've given Claire too, because I believe she's already got it in Jesus' name, because she prayed and we believe. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we're looking for a good testimony from her. Amen. That's awesome.
May I add?
Yeah, Greg.
Lord, I also want to pray for a calling to come upon her husband strongly. These two would come into the kingdom together. So Lord, whatever's going on, and you know, Lord, and Lord, I thank you that you've got Claire and Rhiannon right in town there, in little lower backwater Tasmania. Lord, but yes, her husband as well. Lord, that this whole household will be saved. Amen. That'll do.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hi, Anna.
Obadiah.
Why, buddy?
I see you, buddy.
Why, my God?
Amen. It's good to see you over here. Man, I hadn't seen you in a while. I know you've been busy.
It's good to be back on. My phone's finally letting me back in. So, thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
It's been 2 months, so thank you, Lord.
Yep. Amen. Okay, anybody else got a prayer request or a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Julie.
A praise report, testimony. Yes, I do. This past Saturday, we had really, really hot temperatures here in Southern California, and there was a fire that broke out that day. It was probably, I guess it was probably about 40, 45 minutes from here. And Saturday night, my power went out and it was about 8 o'clock. And some of you who are here, we're all praying for me that my power would come back on. And the estimate was about, well, the first they said midnight that night that I would have power restored, and they kept changing the status of that. They didn't know at first what the problem was. And because of the heat, the excessive heat out here in California, there was a huge stress on the whole power grid. And there would be like blackouts sometimes, and they were encouraging people to use power, you know, responsibly and not overdo it, especially during the peak hours and stuff. So the power went out, and I'm like, okay, the power's out. And my apartment was still pretty cool, so I just kept everything closed up. And I went to bed the next day. They were saying that the power would be returned by, I think that day on Sunday would be 5 o'clock. Well, they kept delaying and pushing back the estimate for the power to be restored. And as I learned later that they investigated that this area where I'm at, the power was off because the fire had actually done damage to somewhere in the power, either the power lines or the, you know, transformer or whatever they had to fix it. Well, because the fire was so bad, they hadn't got it contained, and it was getting much, much larger. It wasn't safe for the power crews to go in there and do any kind of repair, so they pushed off. Kept pushing back the estimated time of restoring, and I'm just believing. I'm praising and thanking God that, okay, it's like it's heat, but it's like I'm comfortable, and everyone was praying for me, and I kind of gave them updates what was going on. Some of you that were, I kept in touch with about it, and I started thinking about, well, you know, worst case scenario, what do I need to do here? It's like, you know, I've got food to eat and all that, and I was praying and asking God that he would keep my food in the refrigerator and the freezer, that it wouldn't go bad, that my freezer, everything would stay cold as long as possible. And of course I'm believing the power to come back on. So I'll spare you all the details and such, but my phone battery, of course, was down low, and I'm like, what do I do about that? And then it dawned on me, it's like, okay, I can charge my phone with my computer, the battery on my computer. So I plugged it into my computer, and I had, I did that a couple times. I did it on Sunday, and I did it on Monday. And I waited until, I didn't charge it up fully. I just like, well, the power's gonna come on, I'm just gonna charge it up to about 45% or something like that, just so I have plenty of power on there. And when I did it again, so So on Monday, we still didn't have power. So it had been Saturday night through Monday. And they were saying then on Monday, they were saying I wouldn't have power restored until noon on Tuesday, the 8th, which is today. And I'm like, oh, like, Lord, we prayed. Like, Lord, we prayed. And when I was charging up my phone on Monday morning and I looked at my battery on my computer and I had 33% battery on my computer, I'm like, 33 is promise. I'm like, Lord, you promised. We prayed. And I'm just believing you'd restore the power today. Today. It was hot. I can't explain how hot it was. But at least it wasn't as hot yesterday as it had been on the weekend. But still no air conditioning and not having, it was just uncomfortable. And so anyhow, I prayed all those things, standing in faith, letting people know what was going on so they wouldn't keep texting me. I kept turning my phone off so I could conserve my battery life on my phone, but I didn't want them to worry about me. So yesterday afternoon, it was about, I don't know, maybe a little before 3, I decided, it's like, well, I need to cool off. So I decided to take a shower and wash my hair. And so I did that, got dressed, kind of looking around my apartment. It's like, well, you know, just it's still warm in here. I couldn't close everything up because it was still hotter outside than it was in my apartment. But I sat down, I was sitting there looking at my hair going, should be nice to dry my hair with my hair dryer, but I don't have any power, you know. And within 2 minutes of me saying that, thinking that, saying it out loud, my power came back on. Praise the Lord. I'm like, hallelujah. I really was just rejoicing. And I, you know, I went and turned my air conditioning on and reset my clocks and all that. And I sent texts to everybody letting know that my power is restored and all that. And then I opened up my refrigerator. I decided I wasn't gonna assess anything in my freezer until the power came back on to see what was what, you know. And everything was still very, 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 very cold. I think some of it was still fairly frozen, some of the bigger things in there. But everything's really cold. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. And I was just praising him and thanking him. But I had been throughout the weekend, you know, since that happened, doubts had come into my mind about, will God really keep my food? And I was thinking, well, worst case scenario, I'd have to throw everything out and just replace it. And I had just bought a half gallon of milk, some sour cream, some yogurt, some half and half, all this dairy stuff. And I'm thinking, God, you can do this. I know you can. I was thinking about different recipes I'd make where you had to ferment things overnight using milk, you know, to make something. It's like, that was fine. It's like, I know you can keep it. I know you can keep it. But doubt had crept in at some points, and I didn't always cast them down. So anyhow, I heard my refrigerator came. That was the first thing I heard. I heard it click, the refrigerator click and turn on. I'm like, yes, power. And as I'm doing running around the house, you know, changing the, you know, the turn my fans on and all this stuff, I realized that my refrigerator has stopped running. And I'm like, what in the world? And I started rebuking it. I don't know what's going on here in my refrigerator. It's like, you're running, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, I've been here so many years. I don't know what the life expectancy of a refrigerator is and how old it's old before I've been here. But it's like, God, is this thing on its last leg? Did it just like fizzle out, you know? And then it just came to me, you know, you were doubting about God keeping your food. And I just repented and asked God to forgive me for doubting and getting double-minded about him keeping my food. I had thoughts about, well, worst case scenario, I'd throw everything out, you know? So I repented of that, and within a minute, the refrigerator turned back on after I repented and confessed my sin of doubting and being double-minded about asking, you know, for that God would keep my food. And I had been asking God throughout the years, Lord, you know, I want more faith. I want to believe, you know, for more things. I want to believe. I want to believe, as the scriptures have said, you know, and that I know I can eat anything. I know that you can keep anything, you know, it's like, there's nothing bad, you know, being able to eat anything because I know and believe the truth. And even if it's been, you know, 43 hours since I've had power, then God can keep your food in the refrigerator. Even if it wasn't cold, it didn't spoil. And he, you know, he kept it and he just blessed me. And I was so excited and I was just so happy. that God did that for me. And I was singing, it's like, you know, Lord God, this is so good. He is just so awesome. And he is faithful. He is faithful. So when you ask God for faith, you get trials to prove his faithfulness. So anyhow, he is awesome. I'm grateful, Lord, that the temperature has changed and, the humidity has come in, and I'm praying and believing they got those fires under control, too. But that's what it is. The righteous shall live by faith and not get double-minded.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. That's my testimony. He's awesome.
About the fires, are they all over that area or just
they're all part? Over the state, but this was the first one we've had down here in this part of the county. That big. I mean, it started off, I think Saturday night I heard it was about 4,000 acres, and as of yesterday it was still hardly contained, and I don't know how many thousands of acres it was still burning. But the humidity has come in, so that it makes the conditions more favorable for them to fight against those things and get them.
I saw California has over 2 million acres that have burned up so far.
Yeah, and
nothing's put out.
It's much, much worse up north. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
What do they attribute it to? The dry weather?
It's been so, so hot. There's been weeks where just, 90s and triple digit weather, especially further north. So, but I don't know. I don't know what they're attributing it to. They don't always tell the truth about how it starts. So, God knows.
And, yeah.
You know, it's judgment. It's judgment out here. It's judgment out here, bottom line. But I'm just praying, believing that God is protecting his people. And there was a lot of power outages over the weekend in this county, in San Diego County. And, some of them were attributed to because of the heat and overburden on the system, and some of them were about the damage and the fire. But God's awesome.
Now, how far do you live from San Diego?
I'm about 15 miles east of the city limits of San Diego.
Okay. Well, all right. Good testimony. Thank you, Lord. That she, Julie did not melt. I told her, I said, you're going to be as cool as a 3-day watermelon in the refrigerator. Amen.
I told them that sounded really, really good because I was really hot, and anything really cold like that sounded really good. Like, man, ice cold watermelon. Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else with a testimony or a prayer report or a prayer request? Bad Judy.
Yeah. Well, I just whoops, wait a minute. I just wanted to tell the group that Kathleen was the one that got me into, or told me first about UBM. Kathleen graduated with my husband in high school, so she's a year older than me. And then when she went I lost track of her. But then she started texting some of the friends of her friends in her class emails. And somehow I was on one of her friends' email lists, and her emails came to me. I mean, she didn't really text me first. It just somehow they just came to me. I guess the Lord probably wanted them to come to me. And I couldn't figure out what in the world she was doing, why she was sending me these emails, And so finally I talked to her and we started talking. And then anyhow, that's how I knew about UBM, was through Kathleen. So thanks, Kathleen.
That's all.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, Megan.
I have a prayer request. My hand, my ring and pinky finger on my right hand is hurt, and I couldn't bend over.
Okay, the finger on your right hand is hurting?
Yes. both by ring and pinky finger.
Okay. All right. But in the name of Jesus right now, we command that pain to leave her hand and fingers right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that she's going to have complete operation of that hand. And we thank you, Father, for a complete healing in Megan's hand, fingers, and whatever else. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful work on her hand and her fingers. In Jesus' name. You believe that, Megan?
Yes.
Amen. Hand Megan? Healed in Jesus' name.
Hey, Megan, did you say you had trouble bending over?
My fingers.
Oh, you couldn't bend your fingers. Oh, I see. Got it. Okay. Well, they're healed. Praise Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thanks for the graphic, Dave.
That's one of the few things I'm
doing. I don't know if anybody saw that, but.
I saw it. Yeah. Amen. All right, anyone else? Hey, Ronnie, how's it going, brother? All right. Okay. What are we going to talk about tonight? Anybody got something they'd like to talk about? Oh, I can tell everybody's been reading your word, huh? Okay.
Michael, I have something.
Yes, ma'am.
Michael, I have. You remember last Thursday night you talked about the verses in Ephesians that you pray every day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would like for you to go through those verses.
Okay.
Because I don't quite understand them all.
All right.
Okay, it was Ephesians 5, I believe. No, Ephesians 4, no, 3, right? I think it's 3.
Ephesians 1 and 3, yeah.
Yeah. And then you had another one, I think it was in Matthew, I'm not sure.
No, it was in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3.
Okay.
That's where Paul was praying.
Yes.
Okay, Paul talks about in Ephesians 1 and 16. He says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And in 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, everybody understand what that is? Anybody got any comments on that particular verse? Paul is praying that these believers get the knowledge of Jesus. All right, 18. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Everybody understand that, or do they have any questions on that one? The eyes of your heart is your spirit, is your understanding, your spiritual understanding. Okay, that he's asking the Lord to enlighten, broaden their eyes of your heart, open up their eyes of their heart, that they might know what the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Remember sun glory, moon glory, star glory? Of his inheritance in the saints. And what the exceeding greatness of his power to us, world. Us who believe, according to that working of the strength of his might. All right, I'm just going to stop and let y'all. Is there any questions on any of the things that we've said so far? Anybody understand what we're talking about here?
It's very deep. It's very deep.
It's spiritual. Mm-hmm. What the riches of the, what the exceeding greatness of his power, the Lord's power to us who believe. What power do we have? We have all the power and blessings of heaven available to us. According to that working of the strength of his might. According to that working of the strength of his might. Does anybody want to venture a question on that one? Does anybody understand that? And we do that by faith, don't we? We do everything by faith. Which he wrought in Christ. He gave it to Christ first. Then he gave it to his body. When he raised him from the dead, all right, here we go, and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. When he did that, Jesus is our intercessor. He talks to the Father for us. And makes available to us all the blessings of heaven. Amen. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Y'all realize the power that God has made available to us? Yes. That's why he's talking about us. He's talking about us, the body. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, made him sit far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's our time now. That's us. We got the same power as them 12 apostles did back then. We got the same power available to us as Jesus. And he put all things. What does all leave out, as what's his name used to say? He put all things in subjection under his feet. Well, the feet is the lowest part of the, is the newest Christian coming on the scene, right? That's the one, the most immature Christian has the same authority as the most mature Christian. He just got to figure it out. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. That's it right there, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What does all leave out? Not nary a thing. He is showing us here. He's praying for these guys to understand that they have the power and dominion over all, everything. Dominion over everything. If a robber came up to you with a gun, loaded gun, this is the power he's given you. You could tell that robber right then, if you pull that trigger and it ain't my time, fella, one of two things is going to happen. That gun is either going to misfire or it's going to hit you. That's the power and authority that God has given us. And I'm just using that for an instance. If a big bad dog came running at you, barking and growling and stuff, you can command him to stop and go back the other way and he'll do it. I've had that happen. Wow. That's the authority and dominion God has given us and made available to us. All we have to do is reach and grab it and hold on to it and understand that that's where we are. Okay. Now, is that pretty clear? Let's go to Ephesians 3. This is a prayer for spiritual strength here. Yeah, Ronnie, I'm sorry I didn't see you till just now. You got to unmute, brother.
Go ahead and finish what you're talking about, and then I'll ask my question.
I can barely hear you.
Go ahead and finish what you're talking about, then I'll ask my question.
Okay, well, I'm fixing to go over to Ephesians 3 now, but if you want, you've got a question on Ephesians 1, go right ahead. No,
it's personal.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, David.
I'll ask a question. No, he's got some pretty interesting language here. I figured I want some people to talk about a little bit. He says, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. What's he mean by that? What's he saying? I'm curious what other people think. I remember once somebody said something about the heart and faith and believing. Yeah, there's something else going on in the heart that's beyond our scope. But why would he say having the eyes of your heart enlightened?
Well, did you hear me explain it?
No, actually. Okay.
I'm asking because apparently you didn't. No, I explained that as as your spiritual understanding. The eyes and ears of your heart is your spiritual understanding. Open up your spiritual understanding to understand what I'm fixing to tell you. That's what he's praying for the Ephesians. That's your spiritual understanding.
Seems like it goes deeper than that, so I don't know.
Okay, what? How much deeper?
Well, there's something there.
I'm open.
I think there's something there. It's deeper. That's all, because it's so important that he wants the heart, in particular, to be brought into this. There's something deep in that, because you've seen how Revelation comes to, the seed was planted to one of the four types of. People are ground, but only one bore fruit. The other three, they were given the same seed, but it didn't bear any fruit. Well, there's something here significant that's happening where this heart is involved for this thing to open up and be enlightened. I'm just saying, it seems like there's something going on that's very significant. But it's spiritual knowledge. I mean, I think it gets down deeper than that. That's all. That's why I'm looking at that. That's all. That's just grabbed me for that.
Okay. Julie, did you have something?
Yeah. What Dave was saying is just your eyes, our eyes are the windows to the soul. And our soul is, our heart is our mind, will, and emotions, spirit, man. I just kind of look at that like God showing... showing you, for the revelation to come, he has to take away the veil, which, would blind the eyes of the unbelieving. So it's like giving you a glimpse. Sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I feel like he's just giving me a glimpse of something and then I lost it. It's like he showed me something and it was like, like a tease or something that it's like, no, he showed me something there and then it left. And it was like, going in a little bit deeper, behind the veil, behind the curtain, to closer to God and, knowing his heart about something or what he's saying, a deeper revelation of his word. And it was like, it was there. And I just, that left. I think it's the eyes of the soul. So your heart.
Have y'all ever read a verse and you thought you understood it to the depth of it? And then at some point in time, you read that verse again and peeled off another layer of knowledge in that, and then you read it another time and you peel off another layer. That's mm-hmm. your spiritual eyes being opened to the depth that he wants you to see.
In the context of that verse is that you may know what is the hope, what we've been called to, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So it's just like getting that revelation of like, why did God call me? What is it about being a Christian? What is it about being a disciple? What is it about living my life for the Lord? And what is it, all these, start putting these questions in your mind and your heart as you read the word. And that's just, I think, part of what that is a growth.
I remember there was a guy a while back I was talking to, I was at my brother's house. He was an investor, did a lot of investing with people's money. So he had a lot of money. And I asked him once about reading the Bible, and he says, well, yeah, I've read it, but I don't understand it. It doesn't really mean much to me. No, I was like, I thought, whoa. So
you know, I remember reading the Bible and it I'm not understanding a word of it. I said, what is this?
Did not sink in. Nothing was there. It wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, God has to open our eyes. Did you have something, son?
Yeah, I have an example if that's all right.
Sure.
Because it made an impression on me. The first time I remember reading, God did not give me the spirit of fear. I'm not putting word for word verbatim, but God did not give me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And I thought, okay, so God gave me power. You know, I mean, he didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and a sound mind. And I'm thinking about it. Next time, you know, like you said, with layers, you know, next time you read something. Okay. So I found out, okay, who gave me the fear? Well, that was the devil. Okay. So then I read another again. And then I'm thinking, well, where's the power? Where's the power? You know, I'm thinking about this, meditating on this scripture. How can I have that power? If I come against the enemy with a fear, what am I going to do? How am I going to get that power? But what crossed my mind this one time in particular, after reading it different times, is like I got a little bit each time, a little bit of a revelation each time I read that scripture. But it's like, okay, the power comes from God, the love comes from God, and the sound mind I'm supposed to have. Okay, so I'm not supposed to have the fear. Okay, how do I get that power, love, and sound mind? Well, you know, then I thought, wow, the fear is what keeps me from having a sound mind. When we're anxious or fearful, we don't have a sound mind. We don't think straight. I know that with myself. I've been anxious a lot of times, and I can't think straight. I can't do as well. And so if I can't think straight, where's that power? I can't be in fear because power, when it comes from the Lord, is it keeps my mind in the right place where it needs to be so that I can operate through him, through his power. But also, you know, the love. When you're in fear, all you can think of is yourself. When you think of yourself, then you don't have no love for anybody else, because you're just so focused on yourself because of the fear that you have. So all this revelation was coming to me, you know, and that's what makes me think of the spirit of revelation, you know, the spirit and wisdom, and wisdom comes with that, you know, with that revelation. It's like, wow, now I get it. You know, so anyway.
Okay. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Dave, because I'm going, what is this, you know? And a couple of things come to mind in pondering it. It's in Scripture where this has happened, like Paul. You know, here he is off to, you know, well, Saul at the time, to wipe out all the believers. And he has this experience, but the scales fall from his eyes. And this guy knew the word. You know, he'd been studying it for years. The couple on the Emmaus Road, you know, they had that same revelation. And even, was it Mary Magdalene, when she was talking to, or she thought she was talking to the gardener, saying, where have you put his body? And I'm guessing this is, you know, what the big word for this is an epiphany. A really, really big epiphany.
Amen. Okay, anyone else?
I like that word, epiphany. I got
David uses it often. Amen. Okay, everybody understand about spiritual eyes. Malcolm X has entered the waiting room for this meeting. Oh, Malcolm. What is that? Well, hey, Malcolm X.
He's our spiritual eyes.
Yeah. You can tell. Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, over in Luke, the last chapter, verse 45, he's going to also open their mind. So not only does he open your eyes to enlighten your heart, but he opens your mind too, so that they could understand the scriptures there. That's part of their great commission out of Luke there. So these guys have that. Because even like for, understanding the spirit of the word compared to the letter of the word, and, the very basic of that is, of course, you take the first commandment, I am the Lord thy God, I shall not have false guards before me. Jesus came to fulfill that law. So we have one God, because we have one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. So there it is in 4:4 of Ephesians. So the Lord's going to fulfill those things in you. And you receive it now, not by law, because we don't have that relationship with God, but by grace. So the grace makes you the fulfiller. The grace, followed by its companions to save you from the law, because now you have it by faith. And the law of faith says, for I reckon a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Mm-hmm. And of course, then there's the other laws of liberty and the royal law and the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, of course. The one we all like to quote there. So I was just making a mention here that, he opens their mind as well as he opens the eyes of their heart. So there's no eyeballs on your heart. But if there are, he'll open them.
I remember when I read Sovereign God the first time, how it opened up my eyes to the Bible. I don't know if anybody else had that same revelation, but when I read Sovereign God, I understood a lot of what the Bible I didn't understand before. Mm-hmm.
The biggest example there would be, of course, your birth. When you came to the Lord, your eyes were really open there. And you saw how evil the world was after that. Mm-hmm. And you go, wow, I've got this new life now. And you're excited that you have Christ with you. So that would be the greatest, actually, explanation for that.
For me, the greatest revelation was after I read Sovereign God. I'm just going to be honest with you, because I understood the sovereignty of God. Before, I didn't understand that. We're thinking that the devil and Jesus is up there butting heads all the time. But once I understood the sovereignty of God, then it just, everything fell into place for me, just for me. And my eyes were opened and I could read the Bible and understand what was going on after that. In a lot of places that I couldn't before. And that was 15 years ago, I guess. Okay, any other question? Somebody else had a hand up, I thought. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, I was looking at that in Luke. Again, I looked at where the two disciples were walking and then Jesus appeared to them, right, after the resurrection. And he said, and in Luke 24:7 says, and having begun from Moses, this is Jesus, and from all the prophets, and I'm reading from the modern literal version, he was clarifying for them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus is clarifying all the scriptures to these disciples. And they say, and here after it, and then he sits down and reclines with them. He breaks the bread. He's going to give thanks to them. He says, now their eyes are open, and they recognize him. He came on a, and then he disappeared again from them when he did that. And they said to one another, was our hearts not burning inside us as he was speaking to us on the road? And he was opening the scriptures to us. So their eyes are being clarified here, starting to see with the scriptures, when Jesus was opening up the scriptures, seeing clearly the, through the scriptures now. And during that time, their hearts are burning, you know, as the scriptures are being opened up. Something happening with their hearts and their minds, with everything being opened up for them. It's interesting how the scriptures are doing that. And Jesus is doing that with them.
That reminds me of the scales falling off of Paul's, or off of Saul's eyes, you know, when he accepted the Lord, you know.
Amen. Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
I was wondering if it would be okay if I shared a song.
Okay.
I have a song the Lord gave me through, from verses 13 through 20.
18.
I'm sorry, 18 through, oh, I lost my place. 18 through 23 in chapter 1.
Chapter 1 of what?
Ephesians.
Oh, Ephesians, okay.
18 through 23. I had this tune in my heart for about a year. And then I was reading this one day, because I got the tune got down so well, and I just started fitting with the Lord just put it with these verses. So so anyway, I thought I'd share it. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. I sure can hear me. Okay. Start too. If I start too high, I won't be able to hit the last note that gets high. So I'm gonna have to go way down. Anyway. I pray that your eyes will be flooded with light so that you'll understand the wonderful purpose God's promised for those he's called. I want you to realize what a rich and a glorious inheritance he's given to his people. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power to us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has placed all things under the authority of Christ, and he gave him this power for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is filled with Christ, who fills everything everywhere with his presence. And the church is his body. It is filled with Christ, who fills everything everywhere with his presence, with his presence, with his presence. Amen.
Amen.
Very nice.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Amen. Judy, did you have a song you'd like to share? No? Okay. Oh, I just had thought I'd ask. You know I'm messing with you, don't you? All right. Anybody else?
Claire had her hand up.
Go ahead, Claire.
I just had a thought come to me when we were talking about the eyes of the heart being enlightened. And then when we go to one of the best known books, if we look, it says in John 1, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehendeth it not. That's 1:5. And I just think, isn't that what he's doing? He's taking our hearts of coal and he's making them into these new hearts of flesh. And everywhere where there's darkness, whether it's in your head with, you know, serpent spirits, or whether it's in your heart with unbelief, or whether it's in your body, like he is shining his light. That sperm, that seed is shining forth everywhere, and the darkness cannot apprehend it. It will not prevail. And I love that. And I think that's what we're after. We want everything to be filled with light. And that's what Paul was praying for his people in Ephesians.
Amen. Okay, anyone else on Ephesians 1?
Michael, the King James Bible in verse 18 does not say heart. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. They don't use the word heart.
Well, it says basically the same thing. Hang on just a second. Let me get to... Oh. let me see. You said it says spiritual understanding.
It says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened.
Okay.
Eyes of your understanding. So instead of the eyes of your heart being enlightened, it says your understanding instead of heart.
Yeah.
Which it might help.
It throws a little bit different angle on it.
Yeah.
I believe heart's a little bit better word, because heart throughout the New Testament is considered the spirit.
You know. Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to see where they get their Greek manuscript writing for that. Because the modern literal version does have heart in there, and actually has a Greek reference to it, a Greek word reference to it. Whereas the King James Version doesn't reference that word, heart, in there.
That
word. I don't know what version they're working with on the transcripts.
Well, the King James, as David points out, Sovereign God is a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy, copy, copy. And they're translating each way. And the people that translate these things throw their theology in there a little bit. Things get a little bit mired.
It might get dropped. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's okay. I believe I understand it. Okay. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened. To me, that speaks of your spirit man understanding, your spiritual understanding. Opened up. Okay, any other questions? Hey, Malcolm. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. And then starting in verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father. Malcolm's got his hand up. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Hey, can you hear me, Michael?
Oh, absolutely we can.
Oh, good. I'm on my cell phone. Our regular house phones are out, and the power is out. We we have a fire quite close here. So I just solicit your prayers. Just to thank you for agreeing with me that the Lord is protecting us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you right now. We command those fires to cease before they ever get anywhere close to Malcolm and all of his family there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
In the name Amen. Of Jesus. Father, we speak rain on that area in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Everybody agree with that?
Yes, amen.
Okay, Malcolm, you're protected, brother. You are protected, Lord of God.
Well, thank you all. Some good friends of ours, their house burned down yesterday, and a bunch of other houses were lost. They've only got two guys, I understand, working on this particular fire. And the planes, even though we're right next to a river, the planes won't fly, won't drop water because they say it's too smoky. So, anyway, the Lord's in charge.
Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord, for protecting Malcolm and his family in Amen. Jesus' name and his property.
Amen.
In the name Amen. Of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Malcolm, did you have to evacuate?
No, we haven't. A lot of our friends have had to evacuate. I don't even want to think about that because you know that's not where my faith. I just believe the Lord's going to take care of us.
Yes, He will.
I believe it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your angels that are just there to stand guard around all of Malcolm's property and that none of it's going to be touched. Thank you, Lord, for putting Amen. A hedge of protection around Malcolm and his family, his belongings, and give them complete peace and rest in you, Lord, and bold faith to stand that this is all going to come to pass. Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and your power, your strength, your sovereignty, and your love for your children, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we agree with your word.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a testimony
thank you, Lord.
To everybody up there
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
But the main thing I'm praying for is, the main thing I'm praying for is for our neighbors, because I've been praying for them, and also for the tribal members. A lot of them are losing homes. So just praying for revival here on the reservation, and, you know, a lot of suffering here. So anyway, thank Amen. You all. Thank you.
Okay, Malcolm, it's done, brother.
Amen.
Okay. Where was I?
14.
Oh. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father. Everybody know what that means? Your eyes have been opened, praise God. All right. From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. How many of you know that he's got some glory up there? Amen. That you may be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inward man. Okay, let's stop there. Anybody know what he's talking about there? Yeah, Judy.
That's your heart, that inner man.
Okay.
The spirit man.
The eyes of your heart.
Yeah, that's exactly
absolutely.
What it is. That that's he would give you the strength of your inner man that you know Christ in you knows, and you're not going to let go.
Amen. Strengthened with power. Glory to God. With power. Through his spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the inward man. That's why it's essential to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the overcoming power. That's the dynamic power that God gives us to be led by the Spirit. Ooh, come on, Jesus. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith to the end that ye being rooted and grounded in love. What's that mean? Okay, Julie, go ahead.
You're not moved. You are not moved. You are rooted. You are grounded in the love of God, knowing that He loves you. He gave everything, His most valuable asset in heaven, He gave out of love for you. And you're not going to be moved by anything in the natural that's going to shake that.
That's right. Through faith, it says, through faith to the end that you've been rooted and grounded in love. Everything's by faith. It don't make any difference what the circumstances are around you, does it? It don't make any difference what the circumstances are around you. Greater is He. Remember that? That's Malcolm. Thank you, Lord. To the end that you being rooted and grounded in love may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth. What's he talking about there? That's all faith? Of Jesus. Go ahead, Jude.
Is that faith?
Did you have something, Julie?
Yeah, but Kathleen was speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kathleen.
I was, when I was pondering this, I thought faith, you know, because the last verse talks about love. So I think there he's talking about faith. I could be wrong.
No, he's talking about faith. Yeah. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, in your hearts, in your hearts. Through faith. To the end that you've been rooted and grounded in love. You can have all this stuff and not have love, remember? Did you have something, Julie? Yeah. Go ahead, Julie.
We were talking about the verse 18 about apprehending, that you would have power to apprehend. Mm-hmm. With all the saints, what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth of Christ? That's of Christ. Understanding mm-hmm. all that Christ is apprehending. And to me, I remember David sharing, apprehend is like, lay hold of it. Grab it. Lay hold of it. Apprehend it. You know, and his the breadth, length, height, and depth, when you think about that, is that's just deep. I mean, I think about the measurements of the Ark of the Covenant or, you know, or those kind of things. They were all specific dimensions and stuff, but it's all Christ. It's all the Word of God. It's in apprehending all who Christ is, which,
amen.
I don't know, you know, that's only God can do that by faith in you, right? It's big.
Yep. Big. Go ahead, Denny.
Yeah, I was always wondering about the four dimensions there. We live in a three-dimensional world. If you look at your coffee table, look at its length, look at its width, and look at its depth. Then you've got your coffee table. Well, this is length, depth, you know, length, width, depth, and height. Now, I thought, is he, and then of course he goes on to talk about beyond our knowledge, you know, his love is beyond knowing or beyond knowledge. I was wondering why he mentions four dimensions there instead of just three.
Amen. So anybody got the answer?
Leon, I don't know what all the answers is, but we live in a world with length, width, and height, not depth. Depth is the fourth dimension there, and that's the one that talking about Jesus and who he is and God and who he is. And all these verses that we're reading, it shows you a different depth than what you reason with your mind. You know, it opens the eyes of your heart, mm-hmm. you know, to know the depth of God. And it's like Michael saying, you peel this layer off, then you peel this layer off, and you peel this layer off. That's where you find the depth, you know. You got the length, width, and the height that's just in everything. So you can see that, but that depth, you got to get it, peel it off and find it. So that's what I think it is anyway.
Yeah, I believe you're right. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, but it also says that the very end of it, above all that we ask or think too. So that's into the depth there, because we still have to find that depth too. And you know, we'll have an eternity to do it too. But we want some here on earth too, as much as we can get. So, but I have a really good verse that I wanted to bring up about this love, because it's
well, hang on just a minute. Let's get through with this, Andrew, and then we'll talk about your love verse, if you don't mind. Once we get through with this, we'll get back to you. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, what crossed my mind is, you know, it says apprehend with all the saints. With all the saints. And it made me think about I heard this one thing, and I'm sure that, you know, you're talking about all aspects of that, of love. And we cannot, not one person can get the whole aspect of love. It takes all the saints to be able to apprehend, because of all our experiences that we go through, what the Lord shows. He shows each one of us something a little bit different. It's like the Gospels, you know, Jesus in the Gospels is different. Each one sees a little bit different of Christ. And it makes me think of that one story. I don't know where it came from, but there was a bunch of blind men, and this one guy says, go over there and tell me what you see of this animal. It was an elephant, you know. Tell me what you see, what he looks like to you, even though they can't see him. And one touches the trunk, and he says, oh, that's a hose. And another touches the leg, and he says, oh, that's that feels like a trunk of a tree, and tail feels like a rope, and, you know, all those different aspects. So it's like when we get into the Word and whatever we're going through, it's like we have a different aspect of that love to bring forth that helps us to apprehend. We need all saints to apprehend it, not just each one of us being able to get it all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Judy.
It's kind of like the scriptures in Revelation, First Corinthians chapter 12. No, 14. It's 14 where it describes the different parts of the body, how they're all needed. That's good. Sue. So I was thinking of, we all need the body, because not everyone has everything.
Amen. All right, any more questions or any more comments on verse 18? Now we're going to get into Andrew's verse here.
Leon's got his hand up.
Oh, okay, Leon, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just thinking that we would be able to apprehend what the breadth, length, height, and depth is through your teaching, you know, because you're giving us a better view of all of those aspects of it. You know, you're stopping and talking about it, and that's how we apprehend it. We don't just pull it out of thin air, but we're taught and experience, you know, what you've experienced and what David's experienced and what the Lord has spoken to him and so forth. So we apprehend through that as well. That's all.
Okay. I mean, everybody pulls a little bit of more of a revelation into these things, and that's why I like the kind of discussion. All right, let's go on to 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled unto all the fullness of God. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled unto all the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? Okay, Andrew.
I think it's the knowledge that There's a knowledge that's puffed up, and then there's a knowledge that builds you up. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians, or maybe 2 Corinthians, but it's in the Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. So there's the puffed up and the built up there. And it's about the love, you know. And I really want to read this verse now.
Go ahead.
And we know and have believed the love, and that's agape love. This is about obedience now. So the love which God hath in us, and God is love, and he that abideth in love abideth in God, and God abideth in him. You know, and this John guy, he's always talking about love, and this is really neat how the love that's in Jesus is now in you. And he's teaching you to obey faith that worketh love. And, you know, it's just this obedience that he wants from you. Kind of, in a way, it's voluntary to do it. But it's a personal thing for your heart to be filled with this love, because he's birthed you anyway. And he loved you, and he fills you with this love. And this God the Father, you know, he comes with Jesus, and he makes that abode with you, in you. You know, if any love me, he will keep my word. You know, and my Father will love him. And we, Jesus and the Almighty God. So, you know, here he's showing you through these two verses how they collate with this abiding in this love, in this obedience, you know. And it we know that it replaces law, takes the AW off and puts the OVE in. because John says that too in another place where he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep your commandments." Anyway. I there's just so many loved ones. It's just lovely. Praise God.
Amen, brother. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
But that scripture on 19, verse 19, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. And that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's like the fullness of God. God is, his greatest attribute is love. Christ is love. I mean, he loved us even when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. I mean, who does that? It's just, I just think coming into the, you know, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. I think that's just full of the word and full of Jesus and full of, like, a hundredfold fruit of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Sue. I'll get you next, babe.
Can you hear me, Mike?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. You know, the knowledge surpassing love made me think about, you know, you can go to school to learn something and you got the knowledge for it, but until you experience it, it's not, that knowledge doesn't mean anything. You know, that knowledge surpassing love, the knowledge is not going to get us to understand what love is all about it compared to experiencing it. You know, it's just like, it's kind of like, even the people, the brothers and sisters that don't really understand the word of God because they haven't walked in, they haven't recognized things of the spirit. They haven't walked in it. So there's no experience there or that they, you know, recognize. And somebody going to college, you know, and they get out of college and they think that they know that job. And until they get on that job, they don't really know it. That's what I wanted to bring out.
Amen. Okay. Well, that's true. Yeah, Dave.
I looked at that word love in Ephesians 3:19, and it's Philadelphia love. So the Philadelphia love is talking about a brotherly love or kindness and love for the brother.
Phileo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that means to know this brotherly love, this kindness of Christ, this compassionateness that's in the body of Christ, which will surpass his knowledge. Because, you know, you can sit here and get full of knowledge of the word and be cold as a fish. You know, you can just have no, there's nothing coming out of it that draws you. It's just knowledge. It's just information. And it just doesn't go anywhere. And you could probably get a lot of that out of the churches, you know, just a lot of dry word. And it doesn't really bring any affection and closeness to the body of Christ. It doesn't bring you in the closeness that we need in order to survive as a body. But it'll have all the knowledge there that you need to understand, but it doesn't have the fullness in it with the love of Christ and the love for each other. Well, she surpasses knowledge. Because, you know, I don't think you're going to have that spirit of Christ walking amongst people that just have knowledge. It's not going to be that thing that's going to hold them together, that glue of the body.
Right.
That's the danger of the knowledge without the love of Christ.
Amen. Okay, go ahead, Missy.
What Dave brought up with about love being the phileo love, and that's brotherly love, and this apprehending with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth. That's expressing that love to its fullest within the body, the brotherly love, you know, to each other. What Sue was saying too, I've seen that, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. In other words, how I would say it is living out that love, expressing that love, that it's not just here, but it's part of your living, that brotherly love, loving your brothers and sisters. That you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Well, God is love, but I think where it says that God is love, it's probably saying agape, but also he said, you know, if you say you love God but hate your brother, you're a liar. so it kind of flows into this, and it just the fullness of God, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. get my thoughts here. That really what that's saying is I think the fullness of God is a hundredfold fruit. Because the biggest the number one fruit of the Spirit is love. And all the other ones are encompassed in that. But that's what I think, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God.
And that's death to self, isn't it? Complete death to self and servant to the body, right?
Good way of putting it, yes.
Yeah, what is, in my estimation, my humble estimation, is that he's talking about the full love of Christ. What did Christ do? He went to the cross for his body. He went to the cross, and that's what he wants us to do. We are to serve the body, not ourselves, but the body, to our brothers and sisters, before we serve ourselves. And that's some of that depth part, that's some of that he's talking about, the fullness of God. And Missy was right, and Dave was right, Julie was right, that this love of Christ surpasses any kind of knowledge that we had before. Go ahead, Julie.
I have a prayer request. I just received an emergency alert for the San Diego County. A red flag warning is in effect until 8 p.m. September 9th, with anticipated winds reaching 45 miles per hour overnight in the mountains and valleys. Any fires that develop will spread rapidly and with extreme fire behavior, threatening life and or property. Be prepared to evacuate if needed. And the mountains and the valleys is where a lot of these fires are at. So, Father, that's in San Diego County, and that's in my area, okay. The valleys and the, I mean, it can happen anywhere, the valleys and the mountains, which is all around here. Okay. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for your great mercy and your divine protection from all of these fires, that they will not start up any more fires. And the fires that are haven't been fully contained yet and put out, Lord, I pray that those would be taken care of and put out quickly, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would diminish these winds. Lord, we just command these winds in the name of Jesus not to rise up and be any kind of danger, in Jesus' name. Lord, you're the God of all that there is, and you speak to the winds and you command them to be still. So Christ in us, command the winds to not rise up and cause any problems, in Jesus' name. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. We don't deserve it. And I just thank you, Father, that there's not going to be any more fires in this area. And these winds are not going to be a problem. And I take authority over the spirits of fear fires and over these spirits of pyromania and the chaos and the just the anarchy and the rebellion that would want to do such things. In Jesus' name, I pray your protection, Lord, that we just dispatch your angels now to bring an end to all of this anarchy and this if they're DEWs or whatever is causing this, who's ever doing it, that it's going to stop. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your protection amongst all your chosen, but on them and their property, in Jesus' name. And Lord, they're not going to lose electricity again, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
And we pray for rain.
Amen. Yes. Rain,
that area that would put out all those fires. We command those angels to go forth and pour water all over that area, in Jesus' name.
Send rain.
Without lightning.
Yes.
No lightning.
Yeah.
No wind or lightning, just rain, just a solid stream of rain coming down. Go ahead, Denny. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You had something, Denny or Debbie? Oh, okay. I thought I saw your hand there. All right. That is done, girl. Jesus' name. Going to have another wonderful testimony of fire going around. Or stopping in the name of Jesus. Okay. Anyone else? About the fullness of God. Hey, Don. What's up, bro?
Hey, I'm here.
Yes, you are, in all your radiant glory. Thank you, Lord.
I've been listening.
Okay. Now, verse 20. Wait a minute. Something happened here. verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. What's he talking about? Anybody got any?
Would that be according? Sounds like it's according to the power that worketh in us. That has something to do with faith.
Mm-hmm.
Exceeding abundantly.
That's the God in us, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's the glory in us, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
We have the power of the Spirit of God in us that works all this, these previous verses that we are going through in us. It's God that works in us to will and to do. It's his good pleasure. It's his power. It's his might, his spirit that does it in us. Above all that we ask, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Amen. That goes back to verse 1. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. Because we have that, the power of the Spirit in us. That's the power that works in us, is this power of the Spirit.
Amen. That goes back to chapter 1 too, doesn't it? That prayer in chapter 1. Dominion, authority, all of those things. That unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That reminds me of some of the prayers that we've prayed here that God has answered that went exceedingly above and beyond anything that we could have ever imagined, you know. And seeing God do it, I'm not talking about just locally, I'm talking about nationally. Those type of things, those type of prayers are being answered. Because we know that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in it. Well, what's the power that works in it? That's God. That's the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
How many of you know you can't whoop the Holy Spirit? He's our shield. He's our power. He's our sword. He's everything. He brings the sword to memory in our minds so that we can swing that bad boy. I'm telling you, it's power that God has given each and every one of us. Anybody else on this particular verse? Then we'll go on to 21 because it actually goes with this one. Unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the evers, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. Okay. Anybody want to comment on that? What's he talking about there? Unto him be the glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus, who's the head, unto all generations, up to us even. It didn't stop back there, did it? Mm-mm. Well, I have a clearer understanding of these prayers, do y'all? Amen. Thank you, Kathleen, for bringing this up, girl. That's awesome. Anybody got any more comments on this, these prayers before we slip off into something else? Yeah. Lord, help us to retain it all, Judy says. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, Andrew. I'll get right to you, Claire.
Yeah, you also mentioned that sometimes you can replace some of the I's and E's with family member names.
Yep.
Oh, and even for yourself too. So I just bring a reminder of that.
Amen.
Wants to write it in their little prayer novel when they go to prayer.
And it works too. Claire, use it on that friend of yours and see what happens. She's going to come back. She says, you know what happened? I saw this and I saw that and I saw this. What do you think about this? You know, she's going to be doing it if you pray it for her. I see that happen.
I told her yesterday when we were texting, I said, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit creates a hedge around you to just, and for him to bind the strongholds in your life long enough to see the truth of the kingdom. And she texted right back. She said, your prayers are working.
So, praise God. Yeah, they do. Because you got faith. Amen.
I'd like to ask something about those last two verses. If you could just help me understand, because sometimes I probably just get into my head, or it's just a, like not a complete understanding yet, but now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
But then what is Christ in us, the hope of glory? And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So how, like, help me understand those two things, because sometimes it might just be like an old, old childhood teaching that still trips me up. Very often I speak in faith about Christ in me, but when I do that around some other believers, it's like they don't even understand that Christ is in them. They think it's all just the Holy Spirit, or they think it's Jesus. I mean, is that like a remnant of a bad teaching? Or for me right now, like, where does Christ fit into those two verses? And for anybody else who's listening, who...
Okay. Anybody want to tackle that? Go ahead, Missy. You got to unmute.
I'm already unmuted. Well, what comes to my mind is the first Adam was a living soul, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And that last Adam is talking about Jesus. And he gives life to us. And another thing is in Romans 8, it talks about the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of God or whatever. It's like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. let's see here, Romans 8.
Romans 8 and 2.
Yeah. Well, no, that isn't what I was thinking of, was Romans 8 and not verse 2. Let's see. Where is it at? Okay.
Is it 9?
Yeah. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man does not have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Boy, this is, we could go to this on Thursday.
Yeah, we could do that. We could carry it on through Thursday. Let me just say something right quick, and it might help you. I don't know. When you're born again, that's the spirit of Jesus inside of you at that time. And then when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's the power from the Holy Spirit to do the things that God wants you to do. That's you're being led by the Spirit. That's the spirit of the Holy Spirit. You in your spirit, the spirit of Christ also. Now you can peel this back, and you got a lot there. When we can do that Thursday, we can carry it on Thursday and talk about it then if y'all want to.
Yes, please could we peel this back, because I think that will be really useful.
Okay. We're getting into born again, what it is to be born again.
Yeah.
And maybe what these, I'm going to say it, but because I know this is contentious, but I know what I believe, and it's not the Trinity, but I think that is a very pervasive thing.
You didn't say that.
But I want you to understand it, because I get hooked up with it, even though it's not something I prescribe and it's not something I'm teaching my kids. I just find it in every single Christian commentary I come across. Yeah. And I don't know how to.
Yeah, that's a pretty simple one, though, really, actually. Isn't it that
false teaching that then trips you up with things like this?
Amen. Amen. Leah?
Well, you got to remember that Jesus said the Spirit will not give you of himself. He's not going to glorify himself. He's going to glorify Jesus,
right,
and God.
We're going to go through that Thursday night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's pretty deep. We're out of time.
Yeah.
We got to do some prayer here too, Tracy. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just ask and we pray. Yeah. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your protection upon these people that Tracy's talking about, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for protecting them. And Lord, that this would be a time of reflection about where they are with you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for granting repentance to every one of them and bringing them into the kingdom during this time, this trial. And Father, we thank you for protecting their lives and their property, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And we praise you for that. And we're going to hear the testimony from Tracy. Sorry, Tracy. I'm going to try to erase that before we get off of here.
Michael, Ronnie had a question.
Yes, Ronnie, what's your question? I'm sorry. I sure did. You sure did.
Still there.
We got time.
Don't worry about it. I lost my nerve.
You lost your nerve?
Yeah.
That's okay. That's all right. You can call me tomorrow.
All right.
All right, brother. All right, anybody else before we get out of here? Lord, I just ask that you bless Ronnie in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he's going to get a good night's sleep tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for all the work you're doing in him and us too. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your revelations in your word tonight, Father. Give everybody a good night's sleep. In Jesus' name.